On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we recap this past weekend's college football action, including breakdowns of the Bearcats and Buckeyes victories. We check in with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Ball family. We discuss some of the notable cuts that were made in the NFL this weekend. We give Joey Votto credit for being an all-around good guy. And in honor of some of the upsets that we saw in college football this past weekend, we wrap things up with a fantasy draft of some of our favorite upsets. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Tuesday, September 5th, and the Florida State Seminoles are dead.
I think we kind of knew this was coming, though, didn't we?
We did call it. We said that they would lose to Alabama, but we didn't count on their quarterback.
Yeah, we didn't count on them losing their quarterback for the year, so.
Apparently Frenchie didn't get the memo that,
Yeah, and I honestly don't know enough about Florida State's, like, team makeup to know how bad this really is for them. Like, obviously, quarterback's the most important position on the team. You lose your quarterback, you're in trouble. But you look at, like, a team like Alabama, if Jalen Hurt got injured, I don't think they lose a step. I don't really think they're counting on him. He had, right, like, 96 passing yards in their win over Florida State. So there are some teams that they don't really need their quarterback to win.
Yeah. It's plug and play in a lot of those situations. But like you said, with Florida State, I don't know what their
next man up. I mean, people kind of joke about that, but that is the way it is at a lot of schools. So, for all we know, Florida State's got a superstar waiting in the wings. So, I'm not ready to necessarily declare them dead yet, even though I just declared them dead. we'll see how they bounce back. But I'd say if this does have any significant impact on them, I'd say Clemson has to become the favorite out of the ACC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I had Florida State in my Final Four predictions from last episode, so that hasn't necessarily changed yet. But we'll see what this does for the rest of their season. I thought that we predicted that they would lose to Alabama just like they did, but we didn't see the quarterback going down, and we don't know how that's really going to affect the team going forward. So we'll see how they do against some good teams coming up, because they do have a pretty decent schedule.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the ACC is tough. I don't know what else they have out of conference, but
I know at one point they'll play Florida, but other than that, I don't really know what else they have.
So what did you guys think of the Florida-Michigan jerseys? Speaking
gross
of Florida,
that yellow was just not.
Yeah,
it did not do. TV did not do any favors for that yellow. Florida's weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be based on first pictures.
And they wear all blue.
Yeah, that's not out of the ordinary.
It really didn't look different to me at all.
The white helmets were the big thing, but they have those in their regular rotation too.
I wasn't a huge fan of Florida's either, but I didn't think it looked that bad. I just like having some sort of contrast there between the jerseys and the pants. It just kind of breaks things up. When they've got the same color jerseys and the same color pants, sometimes it just seems to be a bit too much to me. And that's the way, I mean, it is with the NFL color rush. That I guess that technically was the color rush.
So with the Michigan game against Florida on Saturday, Michigan didn't look... They didn't blow Florida out of the water. I mean, it was a good contest, but.
And it was a Florida team that had some guys missing from suspension too. So it wasn't even their full squad.
But that'll take us into the UC Bearcats go up to Ann Arbor this Saturday for a noon game. And looking the way that they did on Thursday night, they're going to get the doors blown off of them going up to Ann Arbor.
I don't think UC scores, and I don't think they hold Michigan under 50. Like, I think it's going to be bad.
They got a bad run defense problem.
I think UC pulls off the upset, and it's going to become one of my favorite upsets of all time.
Ooh.
That's called foreshadowing.
Hayden Moore didn't look very comfortable under center. Yeah. He didn't look like He didn't look competent as a pass thrower, which is not a good thing to say about your quarterback.
Especially against a team like Austin Peay, who did not win a single game last year.
Yeah. They were talking about that losing streak coming to a close early on because they were up on the Cats.
Yep.
I don't know. So the first game under Coach Vic, it was a victory, but it wasn't pretty. So we'll see what the Michigan game holds for us this Saturday, but I don't have high hopes. I know Witty has a little bit of high hopes, but that's just because of who they're playing.
Sure. I don't think you can look too much into it, even if it was against an opponent that, again, like you said, didn't win a single game last year. It is. It's their first game of the year, first game under a new head coach. I'm sure there's some jitters there.
Sure.
So, I wouldn't put too much stock into their performance there. I don't follow UC closely enough to know what to expect out of them, if this is kind of par for the course or if they kind of underperformed on Thursday night. But I think they'll blow the doors off Michigan.
On the other side of that coin, Thursday night was your Ohio State Buckeyes taking on Indiana. And it was kind of just how you predicted it last podcast. You thought it was going to be uncomfortably close at the beginning and that Indiana was going to stick around too long. And that's kind of exactly what happened.
Yeah. And luckily they righted the ship early enough to where they put some distance and actually made it a relatively convincing win. But I mean, they were down at halftime and then they took the lead early in the third quarter and then lost the lead again in the third quarter. Back. Well, they went back and forth one more time. Yeah. And then after that, you know, they never looked back, but it won again. It's on the road against a conference opponent throughout the season, new offensive coordinator,
probably the craziest you'll see Indiana's stadium all season.
Yep.
Yeah.
That Cobb's kid's going to get drafted.
Yeah, Cobb's is going to be a solid receiver. He's going to be playing on Sundays sometime soon. I don't know what.
Freshman running back Dobbins looked really good, too.
Yeah, I'm excited for Dobbins. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he wrestles away the starting job from Mike Weber just yet, but.
Mike Weber, he better get healthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or else he's not going to get that job back.
I think one series they threw to Cobb's four straight plays, and everybody in the stadium knew it.
Yeah.
And he just was manhandling that cornerback that was on him.
Yeah. And there was one play where Ward just had his back to the quarterback, Lego threw it to Cobb's, and Ward just threw his hands up, and it was an incomplete pass. And he starts doing that, like, mock incomplete pass signal.
Yeah.
Like, he made the biggest breakup. And then the very next play, he gave up a touchdown. It's like, you cocky son of a bitch. Like, just play the game,
kind of stuff
turn around, actually make a play on the damn ball. He was frustrating me a little bit. But
the football gods are real on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'll tell you, the weirdest part of the night for me was, and I watched the game pretty closely, even though I'm not a big Ohio State fan, was when they pulled out Lego and put in Ramsey.
Yeah, just for like a series.
And just killed their momentum. Like, they went from a really good passing quarterback to a running quarterback. It was almost like they were trying to give the game away because they had all the momentum at that time, too.
Well, and that was still in this first half when they were moving the ball pretty well. That hurry-up offense was killing the Buckeyes for a while. But, Ohio State made adjustments at halftime. They got pressure on the quarterback. Their offense looked better, so... I didn't see anything that makes me say they're not worthy of that number two spot. Like I said, I think it was closer than I wish it would have been, but that's kind of be expected. And I think they'll bounce back next week and have a good showing against Oklahoma, hopefully. But
how did you feel about Barrett's performance?
I mean, for a while he didn't really have much to work with because his receivers just weren't getting open. I don't think he looked bad for the most part. The very first drive, he moved the ball down the field pretty quickly. He looked pretty crisp. I think he completed each of his passes.
Yeah, I was going to say, they were moving the ball decent, and then they just stalled out.
Yeah, so I didn't see anything that made me think, yo, Barrett's going to be your Heisman winner this year, but I didn't see anything that made me say, let's get him out either. So I think he did decent. I think he'll continue to kind of, again, adjust under the new offensive coordinator system, and I think he'll be fine this year.
Yeah. And you saw that early on, too, when maybe it was not trusting your freshman running back right away. But at one point, he was getting 8 yards a carry. And they had, I think it was like 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-3. And they ran one of those damn jet sweeps. And it's like, just pound the ball. Like, if you're going to get beat, like, make Indiana beat you. Don't let a bad play call turn the ball over on downs.
Yeah, Whitty was saying that they weren't getting open. They were dropping eight back into coverage, pound the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're begging you to run in between the tackles. Just do it. And then once they start, I think that's what the adjustment was in the half. They said, hey, we're going to just make you try and beat our running back. And you saw, they, like Max said, they were getting 8-10 yards a carry.
Yep. Yeah. So, like I said, slow start, but they rebounded. Another team who also happens to be a Final Four pick for Mac and I that got off to a slow start on Saturday was USC.
Mm-hmm. They were down by 2 scores early.
Yep, and they were tied with Western Michigan going into the fourth quarter. So I think they ended up winning by 2 or 3 scores. But
I wondered how I was very interested to see, and this is not to take away from USC, but that Western Michigan team last year was really good.
Yeah,
I was interested to see how they would handle a post row the boat era, and see if they still had some residual success, which. Because not everybody graduated or got drafted.
Right.
And so, but yeah, I mean, they, like you said, they scared USC for a little bit there.
One of the interesting stories from that one was, I guess, USC has a blind long snapper on their roster. And they actually got him in there for, I don't know if it was a field goal attempt. Or I think they scored only touchdowns. So like I think it was an extra point. I don't think they had any field goals. So this is one of those things. I mean, it's a cool story. I don't really think it means that much. You know, it's not like he's going to be their long snapper for like the season. I think they just kind of wanted to get the story, him in there. I mean, I'm sure he's been with the program for a while, and you know, I don't know what capacity he's been with the program because I mean he's been blind since he was 12 years old. So it's not like it was like a recent injury. But it's a cool story. I mean, it's great for that kid, great for his family.
It's one of those good, like, you know, fluff ESPN pieces that'll make you tear up a little bit.
We'll hear about it on E60 for about a year now.
I might get a little bit of flack for this, but I'm kind of sick of the, hey, look at this awesome way that we gave this walk-on to scholarship videos or, Ohio State's done it a couple times recently where, let's call this kid's parents and let him know that their son earned a starting job.
Getting their first start, yep.
And
there's another one that I'm sick of is the scholarship announcement, like when a kid picks their school.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sick of the school announcements also.
Yeah.
I was going to say I'm sick of the high schools letting kids with disabilities score. Like, and I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just like, literally every high school's done it now.
And I think that's like, sort of similar.
It was cool at first.
That's on a similar kind of plane as the USC thing. This stuff in general, I think it's more about getting that viral moment than it is really being kind of sincere.
It's almost become more advertising and for clicks than for the actual moment.
And that's my gripe with the high school teams.
But so if I'm Western Michigan, and I know you're not supposed to do this anyway with a guy that can't see, but I'm lining up over top of that long snapper. I'm just lighting him up. And then when he gets up, I'm going to say, hey, you got to keep your head on a swivel out there, man.
So Indiana didn't end up getting the upset over Ohio State, but Howard did over UNLV.
Yeah. Which, I mean, UNLV obviously isn't a football powerhouse right now, but this was, I think they said, the biggest update in college football history from a point spread standpoint. I think Howard was favored by 45 over UNLV, and Howard won outright. So that's pretty incredible. Like, I don't know how something like that happens. I got to imagine that's more just someone made that line not knowing anything about the Howard football team. But
I want to check the sports book. I want to see how many UNLV players had tickets.
Yeah.
It was Cam Newton's brother, too.
On UNLV or Howard?
On Howard. Yeah. He was the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is he at Howard? Where'd he steal a laptop at before that?
I don't know. Maybe his dad's not out there doing recruiting for him.
Backdoor deals with Clemson.
My mom's doing my recruit. She got Howard coming to see me.
We also saw Liberty beat Baylor.
Yeah.
Which is cool to see. I always like when these small FCS schools, I used to like calling them 1AA But now they're all FCS. But it's still cool to see the upsets because you're not seeing as many of these update or matchups anymore either. With some of the with the playoff implications, a lot of conferences have flat out said you don't schedule these teams anymore.
Right.
Because it weakens their schedule, weakens their conference's argument to be a playoff team.
And the I guess the funniest thing about that that game was that Liberty the students got the day off on Monday because of the victory.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean it's Labor Day, they shouldn't be going to school anyway, but
that was the first thing that popped into my head.
Did we ever figure out if this was a kind of not a running joke, but the president saying, oh, yeah. Like, oh, but by the way, you guys can have Monday off too when they already did? Or did they legitimately have class tomorrow?
Hey, you guys did so well this season that we're going to give you the last 2 weeks of the year off.
So I don't know if the president of Liberty's pulling one of those dad jokes like we talked about.
Right.
If it's not, if they actually did have class, one, go to a different school because you shouldn't have class on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Agreed. But two, it's pretty cool that they got off. Not that they're going to party because they're at Liberty. I don't know anything about Liberty, but I can't imagine they have a crazy party scene. So
yeah,
I don't think they make the party list very often. Yeah.
No, nope.
They will now.
So overall, it was a pretty good football weekend for college. The NFL played some meaningless games again, but we'll get into the Bengals stuff a little bit later. Updating a story that we had on a previous podcast about the Los Angeles Lakers. The league has finally come out with their statement and their fines from their investigation on whether the Lakers tampered with Paul George. The investigation came to a close and the NBA found that there was contact. Like the Lakers general manager, Rob Pelinka, did contact Paul George's agent while he was still under contract with the Pacers. But they're really just slapping the Lakers on the wrist with this. It's a $500,000 fine. And that's the only thing they're doing to the Lakers is punishment.
Yeah, and the only thing that's true punishment, because that $500,000 is nothing.
That's nothing.
No, the only true punishment is the black eye that everyone's going to forget about by the time the season starts.
So yeah, I don't think that this is one of those things, and we talked about it a little bit before. You know that every single team does this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like with the contacting of players that might have an interest once they become free agents.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what I said when Ohio State got into trouble too. All the teams do this. Just admit it, DB. Yeah. Your team's a bunch of cheaters.
They all trade gold pants for tattoos.
Yeah.
I might be speaking with a little bit of bias here, but the Lakers can do no wrong.
I know LeBron would never do it.
Kobe's innocent.
Absolutely not.
Is it tampering to subtweet somebody?
I don't know.
This is one of those weird kind of gray areas where the rules weren't made taking like the modern social media era into consideration. So,
like, man, I really hope Paul George signs with us.
Yeah. Like, can that be tampering? I mean, you know, he didn't at him.
Well, you know what Magic's tweet would have looked like? It would have said, Paul George is a basketball player.
And he would have had, good. Like, the winky emoji.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. That'd be interesting. I can't wait till something like that gets pulled in. I know you say it jokingly, but I can't wait till something like that really does happen. Like, they always joke, not joke, people have theories that terrorists and spies talk in people's Instagram comments. I mean, that's a hell of a way to do it.
If you guys are looking for a clean comment section to have a conversation in, Mill Iron Sports is wide open right now. We could use the traffic. So,
and that's millironsports.com with two L's. I'm thinking maybe people are just spelling the website wrong.
It's got to be it.
So, speaking of Twitter, the Lil B kind of, well, this is Lil B sent some shots at Lonzo Ball. After Lonzo Ball had put some shots out there against the rapper Nas, which I don't know about you guys, but I used to be a Nas fan. Like, Illmatic is a classic hip hop album in my eyes. I haven't really listened to much of his newer stuff, or I don't even know if he has newer stuff that's come out.
I don't know.
But he's one of those classic rappers that makes a lot of top 10 lists for most guys. Yeah. And Lonzo Ball said that he isn't real hip hop anymore, and that, you know, these two other guys, Future and who was the other one?
Migos
are what the kids are listening to now.
How
and that's
can you
fine
say Future is now?
Can I be?
Yeah.
Can I be honest? Who the fuck is Little B?
He's the base god, Hefe.
Little B, base god.
Yeah. You just cursed us. We're not gonna. We're gonna cut that, or else we're gonna get cursed. He cursed.
He's from the Bay Area.
Cursed Durant.
James Harden.
James Harden. And he no idea who he is.
He curses people.
He's a pretty big rapper.
Yeah, I know who he is. Totally. Don't curse us.
So are you kind of nervous about this now, DB? I mean,
I'm really not. I don't think that it's hard to say, like, I don't believe in that shit, but, you know, it's kind of coincidental and funny that the stuff that he says does come true a lot of the time. Like, I don't believe any of this shit. I think it's very coincidental, but it's still funny and entertaining to happen.
Yep.
With, sticking with the Ball family, it recently came out that LaMelo, the high school junior, got his own sneaker from the Big Baller brand. Mm-hmm. He's going to have his own signature line. Those are only going to be $395 shoes.
Ooh, nice.
So not $495.
Yeah, the everyman's Big Baller shoe.
Right. The shoes don't look terrible, but he might get in some hot water here with the NCAA when he eventually goes to college in 2 years for already making money on his name.
I saw something that said I don't know if it was the NCAA made a statement or what, but they said that he was not the responsibility of the NCAA at this time, just the California, whatever they call themselves,
High School Athletic Association or whatever.
Yeah. So right now it's up to them, and I don't know if they've even said anything or if they've mentioned that it's okay. I know that no one's ruled him ineligible, but yeah, this is something that could come into play when it's time to get in through the NCAA clearinghouse which hasn't UCLA offered him, or has he just said he's going to UCLA?
This is just one of those things that he came out and he announced that that's where he's going, even though, like, he just came out and said, yep, that's where I'm going, even though there's not been a formal, like, scholarship offering or anything. It's just, I'm going there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of big baller.
Yeah. Yeah. Call a shot. I'd be interested to see. So if they actually start to investigate this once if he does end up getting offered to go to UCLA, could this really be considered a violation? It's not like he's like selling his like memorabilia or anything. He's not, selling autographs or anything with his likeness. He's just selling a shoe that he... It got made by a company owned by his dad that he happened to be a
family
part of.
Business.
So, I mean, obviously he's got his face on the, with the company, but I mean, if they like take him out of any advertising and take his name off the shoe, I don't see like how they could really, I'm sure the NCAA would find a way, but.
Because they're not getting their money.
He's just lucky it's not Roger Goodell bringing down the punishment.
It's costing them money. It's going to get brought up. So,
and LeVar kind of said that, if it happens, it happens. That was kind of like his statement on it. Like, that's the NCAA's problem. That's not mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, because, I mean, you got to think that there have been kids somewhere along the lines that, I mean, you see it a lot of like little kids being child actors or like the kid models and stuff like that. And I mean, they profited off of their likeness. They profited off of, but they didn't use basketball as a vehicle for that right. was just another life they had. And you see, I mean, I guess what about all these minor league baseball players that end up coming back to play college football? I mean, they had to have, because they've accepted money as a baseball player, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that all works, but you, like you said,
I'm sure that LeVar has actually looked into it. And he is such a genius marketer, because whatever he does, we talk about him.
Yeah.
I don't give two shits about LaMelo Ball or his shoes. And it seems like he just keeps getting his name in the news, and it's a genius marketing. But what I was going to say is that I'm pretty sure that LeVar is smart enough to like look ahead into the NCAA stuff, since he's already had one son go to college and a second one there now.
Yeah.
He's got to have contact with NCAA lawyers and stuff that, just make sure that all the money from the shoe goes to you only, and, just different shit like that, like put it into a separate account for him or something where he's not directly getting paid, by a shoe company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before he's a pro.
So kind of going back to something we mentioned earlier, I know, Mac, you had mentioned the example of guys playing minor league baseball and then coming back and playing other sports. And it made me think of Jeremy Bloom, that wide receiver for Colorado, who
he was a skier.
He was a skier. And I think at the time the NCAA ruled against him, but I was reading, and this was on Wikipedia that I was just looking it up, so it could be completely false, but it said that after his whole case, the NCAA changed its rule where you're not allowed to, if you play a sport, you're not allowed to make money in that sport, but you could make money in another sport, so...
I thought that that would... I remember something about that shifting, but I couldn't remember in what regard. I didn't know. Because it came up some other way, too, recently with... I don't remember if it was a golf situation. It was, like, not a... It was one of... Not one of the premier, what they call, like, the money-making sports. It was some kid with track or something. Yeah. I forget what it was, but...
You get paid for Olympic competition, though, don't you?
I don't know, actually.
Through
no
sponsorships, I think. So
yeah, you can get
the idea of the Olympics is that it's an amateur sport. Gotcha. Now the countries can pay you if you. So if you win a medal with the U.S., you get paid a you get paid a certain amount of money, but the people who still hold their amateur status don't get that money. So you just don't collect on your, you just don't collect on whatever they would pay you for winning a gold medal. Otherwise, you risk your amateur status, which that's the same way in golf when amateurs play at the U.S. Open or if they qualify for the Masters or whatever. When they're an amateur, they don't get any of that purse.
Got it.
Because they want to go back to college or they still have, you know, they hold their amateur status to keep building their game in other tournaments that they're eligible for.
Yeah. Like DB said, it's just crazy. LeVar always seems to be in the news.
Between LeVar and Kyrie, I think we've had them covered on every single podcast.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Kyrie, the deal went through.
It's finally finally done. Yeah. Kyrie is out from under LeBron's shadow. So
yeah, so maybe we can stop talking about that.
We should have thrown a party.
Yeah.
We're still, Kyrie trade party.
We're still a LeBron cast, though.
Never.
So it's official that Kyrie is on the Celtics, but the Bengals recently cut a few guys and got down to their 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm. They did, yeah.
It was good to see that Elliott made it onto the practice squad. He didn't get claimed by any teams.
There were some crazy names that fell off this year, though. P.J. Dawson was a third-round pick that never panned out. He's kind of the Bree Burfict.
So that's kind of what they said about them, though. You know, from an instinct standpoint, Dawson was like the next Burfict, only probably with a little bit, I guess, calmer of a head. But he never panned out. And I think a lot of that was, I guess a lot of the criticism about him was that he was very unpolished, that he didn't have a lot of experience. It was more that raw instincts and raw talent. And I guess they were never able to develop that. And they finally let him go, which is a little bit disappointing because I got excited about him kind of hearing some of the talk about his potential, but I mean, potential.
He was a TCU guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it was his work ethic. I mean, he got pushed to the practice squad last year to teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
But he was one of the ones I honestly didn't think was going to fall off. The Will Clark era is over. He was a top draft pick. JJ Dielman was a fifth round pick this year that got cut. And then the one guy that I was really disappointed that got cut was Deshaun Williams. He's almost made the team 2 years in a row. And I think he did skip. I'm not sure. I didn't see if he made it to the practice squad.
I thought I saw something officially. About him.
I think all 10 guys they cut went to the practice squad. I don't think anybody got picked up yet.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of big names fell off. Not all the ones I wanted to see either, but, a lot of big names fell off.
Fortunately, Adam Jones and Fontez Burfict are still on the team.
I don't know if you guys watched much of the game on Thursday night, but I think Driscoll hurt his wrist and he's going to be on the...
Broke his thumb.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
He's going to be on the IR for a while. And still, like, A.J. McCarron still doesn't look good.
No.
Like,
no.
He's not. There's the upside, I'm happy that, you know, he was put on display finally for those idiots, some of us idiot Cincinnati fans that think that he needs to start over Dalton. And yeah. I'm calling you guys out right now. You're fucking wrong.
Yes.
Like, he does not deserve to start over Andy.
No. He is not good. Even if you're not happy with Andy as a starter overall, AJ McCarron would just, it's the makes you look really stupid if you really yes. think AJ McCarron's better than Dalton.
He's terrible at going through his reads. He sails the ball. He's just not a good quarterback. Yeah,
no, McCarron's definitely not all. The answer there. One other injury that I was a little bit disappointed by was John Ross. And it's, yeah. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. terribly serious, but they said he's going to miss probably a few weeks, which, mm-hmm. you know, coming in, he was injured, and now he got hurt, you know, in this game. I think that was one of the knocks on him was durability. So hopefully this isn't a sign of things to come because, yeah. again, a guy with that kind of speed is a huge asset to a team if you can actually yep. have him on the field and use him. But
definitely.
Yeah. I'm hoping he's not Tyler Eifert.
And I think they're going to lean on Erickson to fill the role that Ross was going to play. And I honestly think we saw it in the third game that Ross is pretty much just going to be a distraction to pull away from Green. And like Mac had said, to really
pull they've got enough of distractions Eifert. On this team with Perfect and Adam Jones.
But he got me there. But yeah, no, I think they have enough people to fill Ross's role. It does suck because, yes, durability was the number one question on him. And he's a first-round draft pick, mm-hmm. so he's going to constantly be already in the bus talk, even with a short, you know, as short as it's been into his career with an injury like this, they're going to be like, well, is he a bust? So, and that's what always sucks about first-round draft picks. So,
what's the over-under for number of games that Eifert plays in this season?
I'd say he makes it 10.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he plays the full season.
Wow.
19 games.
You're always the optimistic one, though, so we'll see how that goes. I'd never have faith in that. You know, I always want to see him do well, but next on the next podcast when we make our Bengals predictions, I'm sure I'm going to be the lone guy that has them under 500.
I don't have Eifert on any of my fantasy teams, so there's no reason for him to get hurt this year.
Nice.
Thank you for doing that.
So some other big names were moving around off of NFL rosters. Once Brock Osweiler got cut from the Browns, he's heading back out. I think he likes marijuana a lot.
Yeah.
Heading back out to Denver.
He's had a weird run these past 2 years. He gets this massive contract from the Texans based off of less than half a season of work coming in mm-hmm. Denver when Peyton was kind of battling injuries. He ended up losing yep. his job back to Peyton come playoff time. And I guess the Texans thought they saw enough in those 5, 6, 7 games, whatever, to where they're going to offer him this, what I think it was like $40 million contract. And yeah, then he was terrible for them last year. And they cut him. And they traded him. So they traded him to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And really, I think Cleveland got the better end of that deal because – they gave up a fourth-round pick, and they got Osweiler, a sixth-round pick, and then a second-round pick for next year, which I think the big thing for them is that second-round pick. I think Osweiler was just kind of like, all right, we'll take him off your hands. And
We'll pay his contract.
I thought that they made Houston on the hook for some of the money in his contract, too.
It might have been some of it, but I know they were wrong.
Not a big chunk of it.
Which I think they had enough cap space where it really didn't matter to them.
And one thing about this whole Brock situation is it's kind of a cautionary tale and could be killing the McCarron market, too. Because, not that this is the first time this has ever happened. It happened with Castle. It happened with
Flynn in Green Bay was the big one. Flynn. That was one game where he threw for, 500 yards, and he got a big contract out in Seattle. And then he didn't even get to start. Russell Wilson came in, and that's the last anyone ever heard
Matt
of him.
Matt Schaub was one of them, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland's been all over the news the last couple of days, too. Cleveland, Joe Hayden got cut. Cam Irving, they got a seventh or fifth or sixth round draft pick for him.
Yeah.
Which was just.
Well, looking into it, I didn't know a lot about. I don't pay attention to the Browns other than when the Bengals are playing them, but. I guess after kind of looking at it, Hayden had really started to fall off from a performance standpoint the past couple of years. And I guess he had some off-season surgery on his groin, and they weren't happy with the way that was progressing. And it sounds like they were trying to trade him for quite a while, and nobody wanted to take him on with that contract that he had. I think,
and that's what I
think people saw, but obviously people saw potential because he got snatched up by the Steelers right away. Signing him as a free agent means they can sign him to the contract that they want to sign him to instead of whatever deal he had agreed to with the Browns. So, I mean, I don't, as much as I want to blame the Browns and just their poor front office moves, I don't really think they had much of a choice on this one but to let him go, because I think it was clear to them that he wasn't the same guy that he was and that he wasn't worth the money that they were paying to him. So all that being said, he's going to be a Pro Bowler next year for the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So one thing we like to do on the show is bring attention to some of the good in the world. A bit that we have starting this week, and it might not be every week, and not everybody's going to deserve something every single episode. But today's Good Guy Award goes to Cincinnati Reds first baseman Joey Votto.
This was an awesome thing that we saw over the weekend with Joey, you know, kind of hanging out with a Make-A-Wish kid. Like before the game, I think he talked with him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, during the game, he ended up, he gave him a foul ball that he, you know, just tossed it over to him. And then, you know, Joey, he does what he does and he smacks a dinger. And then he rounds the bases, goes over and gives the kid a high five, like interacts with him again, and then decides that he's going to hand him a bat. And then he came back out later with a like a game-used jersey from his locker also. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things that it's awesome to see someone that I admire, the guy. But it's awesome to see him interacting with a young fan that has is in a hard time right now.
Yeah, and Joey Votto, I mean, he's we like to joke. He's a weird guy sometimes. He's a lot of odd quirks, and you can kind of see him sometimes kind of not really jawing at it, but kind of ribbing some of the opposing team's fans. And most of it's good-natured, although some of it could be construed as mean. But it's not coming from, like, a mean place, I guess. He's not a dick, but, you know, he's got an odd personality, but he's also he's just a great guy, and I think this kind of shows it there. He does a lot for the community, you know, and he cares about the fans. He cares about the city. You know, you can tell this isn't one of those things that he just does, you know, just for the publicity of it, kind of like what we alluded to earlier with the USC thing. I mean, this is one of those things where it really does seem genuine. Like, this is just him, you know, trying to make that fans day.
I don't even know. Was the game on TV?
I don't
think it was in Cincinnati.
It wasn't. It was. I saw the Mets broadcast of it.
The person I feel, or the people I feel worse for in this situation is the Cubs and Cardinals fans I saw on Twitter, just freaking out like, he's not a good guy. This is the same guy that threw a ball onto the roof of Wrigley. Yeah. This is the same guy that didn't give someone a foul ball when they asked for it. And like, they don't realize that, like, he's just being goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just with a you guys.
Very goofy guy. And it, people get so butthurt when someone's not so PC about the whole, you know, like, everybody gets a ball. Like, I'm going to throw the ball to you. Like, the one time when he said, I'm not going to sign any autographs for Cubs fans. He was joking. Like, clearly joking. Yeah. Like, I mean.
But also, he shouldn't, because fuck Cubs fans.
Well, no, absolutely.
He's cotton flack even from hometown fans for not being an open book, and it's
they're the same people that want AJ McCarron starting.
Yeah, it is exact same people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the throwing the ball up on the roof of Wrigley was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I know. I saw someone else that responded to a Cubs fan. I don't remember who it was, so I can't even give him credit. But somebody was like, "That's a ball that could have gone to a kid." And someone was like, well, I think it rolled off the roof and back into the crowd, so someone got it. Yeah. And it was just like, you can't prove him wrong. Like, you don't. Yeah. But, yeah, that was a good story for Joey. Yep. And
I heard that the kids' parents were on the radio the next day, and I didn't get to hear it, but I heard that it was a really good interview. But, I mean, it's good to see things like that, and especially when you know it's coming from a guy like Joey that he wasn't doing it for the attention. Right. He just wanted to make that kid's day.
Yeah.
So good job, Joey.
Wrapping things up, kind of in honor of some of the big NCAA upsets that we talked about earlier, we're going to do our fantasy draft on some of our favorite upsets. This could be any kind of upset. It doesn't have to be college football related. We're kind of expanding everywhere. And with the first pick, I'm going to go ahead and get things kicked off. I am staying in the college football world. This is one that is probably my personal favorite, and I love it every time it gets brought up.
Didn't see this.
Yeah, shocker, right? The Appalachian State over Michigan. It's been, what, 10 years now that's been?
This past weekend was the 10-year anniversary of it.
So that couldn't have happened to a better school. Seeing Michigan get beat like that by a team like Appalachian State. And obviously, I mean, they've got another one coming next week because, we all know that they're going to get knocked off by UC. So when we do this one again in 10 years and I say, you know, my first one is App State over Michigan, my second one's UC over Michigan, that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving there. But I guess just, I mean, in general, fuck Michigan and fuck Jim Harbaugh.
All right, that's one hell of a way to kick off this fantasy draft.
I am going to leave NCAA football. I am going to go with one of my favorite upsets from my childhood, and that's when Danny O'Shea and the Little Giants took down the Cowboys. That was a huge upset, man. Just a team of put-together kids, you know, neglected by the Cowboy organization, not given a chance. They formed a team and took out the mighty Pee Wee football team in the hometown of Urbana, Ohio. So that's my first pick.
And it brought two brothers back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, brought the two brothers back together.
And it introduced us to super hunk Devin Sauer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the nerd's name? Am I nerd shaming right now?
He's the hot one, dude.
Oh.
Quarterback,
I thought you were talking
dude.
About the nerd. Sorry.
Everybody loves the quarterback.
The one that can throw
toilet paper.
I've only
seen Little Giants once.
Yeah, who knew they'd find a perfect quarterback just from throwing toilet paper rolls?
Maybe Cleveland should take a page out of their book.
Scout the local supermarkets in Cleveland.
No, I agree. The Little Giants, that was an awesome upset. Especially when you're a little kid. That was in our wheelhouse, too, of when all the kids were about your same age, so you could kind of put yourself in their situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing seems staged.
Yeah. You mean the girl that was cheerleading the whole time coming out and not having to put on thigh pads or knee pads and just running the ball in her cheerleading skirt?
They don't wear thigh pads and knee pads now anyway.
Shit that bothers you when you watch that movie as an adult.
Yeah.
She's not wearing regulation uniform.
This so bad made me want to go out when we were playing peewee football or whatever. I guess they're still peewee at that age. And do the whole Tums thing where you just chew up the Tums across the line of scrimmage and make them look like you're foaming at the mouth.
Yep.
That is good. So for my first round pick, I am leaving the sports realm altogether. And my upset that I'm picking is the U.S. colonies over England in 1776. Boom.
You motherfucker. I thought that was one that was safe.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those, you know, the founding fathers and the Revolutionary War. So I'm taking USA, baby.
Mm-hmm. Suck it, Britain.
That's a good one, DB. That's a good one. I had that. I was literally getting ready to use that one. That's a good one.
That's why I had to take it first round because I knew someone else was going to have it.
Alrighty. So, my first pick on my wraparound is going to be Rocky Balboa beating Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. That's
Rocky IV is my favorite Rocky, yes, FYI.
It's one of my favorite upsets.
I have a quick confession.
Avenging the death of his friend.
Don't spoiler say alert. It.
I've
seen bits and pieces of all of the Rocky movies, but I've never actually watched them all the way through.
Mm-hmm. You're doing it tonight.
You can
tonight.
Just skip five if you go through them again.
Yeah. Just go straight on to Rocky Balboa from there.
Yeah. Tommy Gunn, yeah, baby.
And Creed was actually pretty good. That came out a couple years ago.
Still haven't seen that one.
I liked it a lot. It was good. It still kept the, you know, kept the Rocky universe intact. Mm-hmm.
It was canon.
No, I'm
yeah,
big Rocky guy. So, yeah, that was one of my favorite upsets of all time.
If he dies, he dies.
All right, so
I will break you.
My second pick on this wraparound, I am going to go with the 2011-2012 Ohio University basketball team. Beat Michigan in the first round as a 13 seed.
Yes.
This actually catapulted them into the Cinderella story of the season. They ended up lucking into playing a weak South Florida team in the second round. And then they took North Carolina into overtime in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That was so awesome.
They were a missed buzzer beater away from winning that one. I think they got blown out in overtime, but
they ended up, I don't know if they scored much in overtime. Yeah. I think the final was like 73-65 or something like that. But that was an awesome team. That we were only a couple years removed from college at that point. Mm-hmm. So a few of the guys that were seniors were there in our last year or two of college. So we were familiar with seeing them play. So it wasn't like now where I'm rooting more for the jersey than the actual guys themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, DJ Cooper was incredible on that team. That was a fun team to watch, and you knew they were good, but you didn't think they'd actually take North Carolina down to the wire like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Clark Kellogg's kid was on that team, right?
He was, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yep. He was.
Yeah, and so, I know you had a few upsets in recent years, too. I mean, they had the year where they played Georgetown in the first round. They almost put up 100 on Georgetown. Yep. I think that's the year they lost to Tennessee.
Which you and I were in Tennessee for that. Awkwardly rooting for OU at a Tennessee Applebee's.
Right next to a table full of kids with mullets.
And then when we were still at OU, they almost beat Florida the year Florida won it all.
Yeah, that was with Joakim Noah and Al Horford. That team was stacked. Yep.
That was the year that OU came back on Buffalo in the MAC championship game.
That was awesome. Yep,
down 21 at the half. Yeah.
So they've OU football or OU basketball has provided some good, not only upsets, but some good tournament runs, which it's always nice to see and gives us a little bit of credibility when they're just, you know, everyone views them as a small school. Every now and then I'll get asked, is Ohio University, are they a bigger school? Like, they're Division I.
Yeah.
They're not some commuter school that only has 1,300 kids.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
They're full-blown university, so. Got uniforms and everything. A little Jake Taylor joke for everyone.
So for my second round pick, it is sports, but in the history of the Harlem Globetrotters, the Washington Generals from like 1955 through 1995, the 40-year history, they played over 13,000 games, and the Washington Generals won 6 of them. So 6 and 13,000, whatever that number is. That,
so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Exactly. The last one happened in 1971. So, I mean, this... And what happened was I read a little, you know, write-up on how they actually ended up losing that game. But they were, you know, they just were doing stuff in the crowd, not paying attention to the score. And the Washington Generals were up, like, 10 points with 2 minutes left. And they actually had to start playing, like, real basketball to try and catch up. And they just didn't have enough time left on the clock to actually do it. So the last one happened almost 40 years ago.
So here's just, I always have wondered, and I mean, obviously in that the game got away from them and they didn't quite understand what the situation was and it was too late. But is it kind of unspoken rule or maybe even a written rule that they're supposed to let the Globetrotters win? Or is it one of those deals where they're just so far and above, like even messing around, they're going to blow them out every week?
I think that's how it is. Like, I think that I've been to one Harlem Globetrotters thing and I was like 12 years old. So I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. It used to go quite a bit because it always fell around my brother's birthday. I mean, still does technically, but we don't go anymore. And
it's not like they call like traveling and stuff, you know, like it's all just.
And you can tell they're in on the tricks sometimes too, where they play dumb and things. So I'm like, I don't know if it's like WWE where like, okay, we got the predetermined winner, but then sometimes things happen and it's like, well, we don't know how to get out of this situation.
Yeah.
So it just kind of goes off the rails. Right. So I didn't know if that was the situation with the Globetrotters or if it was they are just so far superior that they're going to lose no matter what, even with the Globetrotters pulling their goofy tricks and stunts. So.
Are the Washington Generals, is there like a regular team that travels with the Globetrotters, or do they do like local people each stop they go to?
The Washington Generals actually aren't the team that travels with the Globetrotters anymore. They became like the World All-Stars or something. Yeah. It's not the Washington Generals name anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that they became the All-Stars so that they could, you know, pander to the city that they're in and maybe add like local celebrities and stuff when they come to play them.
I know a couple years ago, McLovin from the Dan Patrick Show was on the Washington Generals.
Really?
He played when they were, I don't remember if it was when they were in New York or in Connecticut or where they were, but he played a couple times up and down the floor.
Nice.
Cause that's what led to his infamous broken glasses thing where he tried to spin the ball on his finger in the, confession, whatever they call it, when they have to go in there and talk in the little photo booth on in between commercials.
Yeah.
And he was trying to spin the ball on his finger and it hit his glasses and broke them. So
nice.
But yeah, that's a good one, DB. I knew that they had beat him a couple times. I did not realize
it had been so long
that it was that, and I didn't realize it only happened six times. I thought it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it wasn't like close to.
Oh, it said over 13,000 games were played,
I didn't realize they only won six. That's bad. You think there'd at least be some off nights where guys just aren't making their shots or something, where they would luck into a couple more wins, but.
I'm going to stick with the theme of DB's first pick and go with the Patriot pride of the Miracle on Ice.
Nice.
U.S. defeated Russia. What year was it again?
80, I believe. Yeah.
So we weren't alive for it. But, you know, even in 2017, it's still one of the most talked about upsets of all time. Russia had a lot of international professional players. I think all their team were they all professional players?
They were all from the I don't know if it was called the KHL back then, but they were from they were professional players. Yes.
And actually really a movie that's really well done, was the Miracle movie. It's a classic, U.S. sports story. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely one of my favorite sports moments. So
what movie are you going to pick for your third one? I didn't know we were doing just movie drafts.
Huh? I'm not telling. I am doing all movies, though.
Fun fact, that wasn't even for the gold medal, which people always think that they upset Russia for the gold medal. That was actually to get into the medal game. So
they ended up getting the silver, right?
Yes.
In 1980?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Who did they lose to?
Finland.
Yeah, I was gonna say one of those. I was gonna say Switzerland or Finland or Sweden,
one of those cold countries. I don't know.
All right. So my second round pick. I got quite a few that are still on the board. So, for my second round pick, I'm going to take Average Joe's over Globo Gym.
Nice. Yep. Yep. Yes.
That was one of the upsets of the century, I think. You know, Globo Gym had all the talent, they had all the muscle, all the, you know, the good looks, you know, and the Average Joe's was just a bunch of, you know, a ragtag group of misfits thrown together. And, you know, through the magic of, you know, teamwork and filmmaking, they were able to come together and, and knock off the Goliath of Globo Gym. And, so that's one of my top upsets there.
One of my favorite parts of that movie is the very small part that Jason Bateman has as the announcer of the dodgeball. you know, he does like the play-by-play for the dodgeball.
FNA, Cotton, FNA.
Yeah. He will not be able to see.
Globo or Average Joe's forfeits. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him.
And then Vince Vaughn gets the bisexual co-star and happy ending.
Yep.
Okay. It's a pep talk from steroid user Lance Armstrong. Yeah.
That is a good cameo.
That's a great movie. I'm going to have to go back and watch Dodgeball again. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yep, I know.
It's caught it. Flick. I caught parts of it on, I forget what channel it was on the one night. I was like, I forgot how just absolutely absurd Ben Stiller's character.
That's what I was going to say. I love Ben Stiller's character in that one. I love the, though I think my favorite scene is him with the picture of him taking the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a metaphor for how I live my life. But that actually happened. So that was my second round pick. Heading into the third round, I'm not sure where I want to go with this one.
There's going to be some good honorable mentions.
Yeah, I've got
I think.
A handful of honorable mentions. I guess I'm going to go with the original upset, David over Goliath. You know, nobody wanted to go out there and fight Goliath. Everyone was scared, but David, he went out there with nothing but a slingshot, knocked him out, cut off his head with his own sword, and now every single upset that you hear about from now on gets referred to as a David versus Goliath story. So, I think it'd be a crime to leave that one off the list, given the fact that it's basically referred to now as, you know, a synonym for an upset.
It's the second week in a row that Witty's mic dropped our fantasy draft. He chose happiness last week and things we'd spend on our $1 million contract, and he just chose literally the word everybody uses for
the
upset.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would like to thank Witty for setting up my final pick beautifully with a Ben Stiller reference. I am going to go when the campers of Camp Hope took down Tony Perkis,
nice.
Which is a pretty amazing upset. Another outrageous character played by Ben Stiller, including playing his own dad at the end of the movie, which is pretty awesome.
Yep.
That's like my favorite, one of my favorite movies of all time. So many.
Have you said the name
moments.
Of the movie yet?
Heavyweights.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry. Heavyweights. So many quotable moments from Heavyweights. I know it's a favorite of Max as well. But yeah, that's my third and final one.
Nice.
That is a big upset.
Yep.
So mine is, it's a favorite of mine strictly because of who it happened to. My last round pick is when Wisconsin beat Kentucky in the Final Four in 2015 to spoil UK's undefeated season. So they were, the Kentucky Wildcat fans were already printing the 40-0 shirts. And I've seen them every once in a while. I've never actually bought one, but the 38-1 t-shirts exist now. Yeah. So the Wisconsin Badgers ended up beating them in a pretty tight game that launched Wisconsin into the championship game. But I love that. I do not like Kentucky at all. My wife is a huge UK fan, and her family's a huge UK fan, but are big UK fans, but I can't stand them.
That was a good upset. That was funny. Just like you said, because they were, I mean, in the same, we would have been saying the same thing about Mayweather if he would have gotten beat this past week, because he had already trademarked 50-0, but I agree with you, DB. That was a fun one to watch. Especially because Wisconsin went on and, I mean, they almost beat Duke, too.
Yeah.
Not that they were major underdogs throughout the tournament, because they were one of the better teams in the country that year.
Yeah. A few guys that were on that team
with
are Kaminsky in the NBA.
And Decker and I don't know if there's anyone else from that team in the NBA right now or not.
There is. I can't think of his name.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a good one. All right. For my final one, I can't decide. I've got a couple that I really liked. I'm going to go with 2009 VMA Video Music Awards for the best video, Taylor Swift.
Swift.
Upsetting Beyonce, which led to the Kanye meltdown. Everyone already knew Kanye was a nut job, But I think that was the beginning of the Kanye's own nut job narrative. I don't remember him doing any too much stuff that was crazy before then. Was the whole George Bush thing before or after? That was before.
Yeah, yeah. That was in 2005 with okay. Katrina.
Okay. So I guess we did know that he had a habit of doing stupid shit on live TV.
Yeah.
But this one, for any of our listeners that were not, maybe you're in elementary school when this happened in 2009.
God, who's our target market?
Anyone?
Yeah, anyone. Yeah, anyone that's got an iPhone, please download the goddamn podcast. But, so, Taylor Swift got the video, VMA for Best Music Video of the Year. Kanye didn't agree with it, so he jumped up on stage during Taylor Swift's acceptance speech and said, "I'm gonna let you finish, but Beyonce made the greatest music video of all time," or something like that. Yeah. So he didn't really let her finish, but
yeah,
because then he just kind of went off the rails and Kanye's crazy. Yeah, and that's what Kanye
and
does.
And now look what he made her do.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on with her right now.
I get it.
That's the name of her song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, that's the name of her new song.
I'm so out of the Taylor Swift loop thing that I have no idea. What I see her trending on Twitter a lot right now, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on with her. I know at one point she had a music video come out, and I know that her and Katy Perry, I guess, are not friends. That's all I know right now.
It's pretty close.
Pretty much it, yeah.
When you think of Tim McGraw, I hope you think of me.
I have no idea what just happened.
That was the end of the fantasy draft is what just happened.
Well, I thought that you guys had some pretty good honorable mentions.
Yeah, we do.
I had a couple.
What if he gets bad ones? Already had,
I did have the MAC championship game against Buffalo because I know a couple of us were at that. Holly Holm beating Ronda Rousey was one of mine.
Ronda Rouseys.
Ronda Rouseys. I had the 90s Reds beating the Athletics.
Yeah, that was a big upset.
Sweeping the Athletics, yeah. Actually. Heavy favorite. And that was my last one. Yeah.
I was going to say, my honorable mention. I had District 5 turn Mighty Ducks beating the Hawks.
Yes.
I didn't put that one on there because Hefe kind of had the movie market cornered. And then my other honorable mention I had was the 2012 Miami Heat, the not super team,
yeah,
winning the NBA championship that year.
Classic.
Yep, because fuck yourself, LeBron.
The only one that I had that's worth mentioning was Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
back in the early 90s, but. Mm-hmm. That one's a pretty, you know, that's going to make every single top 10 list of upsets in sports history. So, mm-hmm. Not that original.
Yep. I had several honorable mentions. One of those was Gerard Butler versus a bunch of Persians in 300. You know, the odds were stacked against them, but I guess they technically...
Can we say Persians? That sounds like...
We'll bleep that
out. Is there anything less offensive you'd like us to call you?
Another one I had was Harry Potter over.
Oh, nice. Yep. Whoa.
Oh, you said his name.
And the last one I had, the last honorable mention I had, it's a future upset. Mill Iron Sports over the entire sports media industry. We're doing big things at Mill Iron Sports, so make sure you get on board with that. Check us out on Facebook/MillIronSports. Follow us on Twitter @MillIronSports, and you can check out all of the individual Twitter accounts in the description there. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Make sure you leave a comment, give us a rating, 5 stars, obviously. We don't put out shit that's less than 5-star quality. And check out the blog site, MillIronSports.com. We got a lot of good content on there every single day, so be sure to keep up with that and, you know, leave us a comment, let us know what you think.
We'll see you guys on Thursday.
Bye.
Yay, yay.
Taylor Swift song.